to draw me back inexorably to the one city which, for me, always hovered between illusion and reality, between the substance and the poetic images which its very name aroused in me. A memory, I told myself, which had been falsified by the desires and intuitions only as yet half realized on paper. Alexandria, the capital of memory. All the writing which I had borrowed from the living and the dead, until I myself had become a sort of postscript to a letter which was never ended, never posted. How long had I been away? I could hardly compute, though calendar time gives little enough indication of the eons which separate one self from another, one day from another. And all this time I had been living there, truly, in the Alexandria of my heart's mind. And page by page, heartbeat by heartbeat, I had been surrendering myself to the grotesque organism of which we had all once been part, victors and vanquished alike. An ancient city, changing under the brushstrokes of thoughts which besieged meaning, clamoring for identity. Somewhere there, on the black, thorny promontories of Africa, the aromatic truth of the place lived on, the bitter, unchewable herb of the past, the pith of memory. I had set out once to store, to codify, to annotate the past before it was utterly lost. That, at least, was a task I had set myself. I had failed in it. Perhaps it was hopeless, for no sooner had I embalmed one aspect of it in words than the intrusion of new knowledge disrupted the frame of reference. Everything flew asunder, only to reassemble again in unforeseen, unpredictable patterns. To rework reality, I had written somewhere. Temeritous, presumptuous words indeed, for it is reality which works and reworks us on its slow wheel. Yet if I had been enriched by the experience of this island interlude, it was, perhaps, because of this total failure to record the inner truth of the city. I had now come face to face with the nature of time, that ailment of the human psyche. I had been forced to admit defeat on paper. Yet, curiously enough, the act of writing had in itself brought me another sort of increase. By the very failure of words, which sink one by one into the measureless caverns of the imagination, and gutter out. An expensive way to begin living, yes. But then we artists are driven towards personal lives nourished in these strange techniques of self-pursuit. But then, if I had changed, what of my friends? Balthazar, Nassim, Justine, Claire? What new aspects of them would I discern after this time lapse, when once more I had been caught up in the ambience of a new city, a city now swallowed by a war? Here was the rub. I could not say. Apprehension trembled within me like a lodestar. It was hard to renounce the hard-won territory of my dreams in favor of new images, new cities, new dispositions, new loves. I had come to hug my own dreams of the place like a monomaniac. Would it not, I wondered, be wiser to stay where I was? Perhaps. Yet I knew I must go. Indeed, this very night I should be gone. The thought itself was so hard to grasp that I was forced to whisper it aloud to myself. We had passed the last 10 days since the messenger called in a golden hush of anticipation, and the weather had matched it, turning up a succession of perfectly blue days, windless seas. We stood between the two landscapes, unwilling to relinquish the one, yet aching to encounter the other. Poised like gulls upon the side of a cliff, and already the dissimilar images mixed and bulked in my dreams. This island house, for example, its smoke-silvered olives and almonds, where the red-footed partridge wandered, silent glades where only the goat face of a pan might emerge. Its simple and lucent perfection of form and colour could not mix with the other premonitions crowding in upon us. A sky full of falling stars, emerald wash of tides on lonely beaches, crying of gulls on the white roads of the south. This Grecian world was already being invaded by the odours of the forgotten city. Promontories where the sweating...